So the Supreme Court began its analysis by noting that under the Texas Constitution, district courts have subject matter jurisdiction to resolve disputes unless the legislature divests the court of that jurisdiction. Further, there is no presumption that administrative agencies are authorized to resolve disputes, as we know, so such authority requires clear and express statutory language. The statutory language we're looking at here is Texas Water Code 5.013, which lists 12 areas in which TCEQ has general jurisdiction, the first of which includes the issuance of water rights permits, water rights adjudication, it's the key one, cancellation of water rights, and enforcement of water rights. So the court noted that water rights adjudication is not defined in Chapter 5 of the Water Code, but it is used as a term of art in Chapter 11 of the Water Code. Subchapter G of Chapter 11 codifies the Water Rights Adjudication Act, which includes the administrative process to adjudicate water rights, and the court held that the reference in 5.013, granting jurisdiction to TCEQ, is meant to specifically reference that Water Rights Adjudication Act. And the court found that adjudication in Chapter 11 in the Act is shorthand for TCEQ's decision to issue a water rights permit, i.e. the certificate of adjudication that I was mentioning at the beginning for a particular stream or segment. So that process is basically for a petitioner to file adjudication at the commission, at TCEQ. TCEQ determines whether the adjudication is in the public interest, and then gathers some technical data and publishes a notice. The person, all persons claiming a water right from the stream or segment subject to adjudication then file their claim. TCEQ holds a hearing. If anyone contests it, they have a contested hearing and makes a final determination. But that doesn't determine the ownership of the water rights. Appeals can then be filed at district court, and the district court will make its determination. TCEQ has to file its final determination from the administrative process with the district court, but the district court's not obligated to follow it. And so after the district court proceedings are completed and any appeals exhausted, TCEQ issues each person a water right certificate of adjudication. And so that's recorded in the county clerk's office. And 3 years later, that becomes a water right as part of the title. So the Supreme Court found that the plain language and context of the act leaves the determination of water rights to the judiciary, and that TCEQ's jurisdiction is limited to an administrative record-keeping function in issuing those certificates of adjudication. So that's one to put in your back pocket, particularly for those TCEQ practitioners.
Okay, the third case. Let's see. There we go. This is another Texas Supreme Court case from earlier this year, and also involves TCEQ. This is Dyer versus TCEQ, and it also actually involves the Railroad Commission for this particular case. So for this one, this involved the Injection Well Act, which governs the permitting process for injection wells in the state. And is governed, and that's set forth in Water Code Section 27. So a Class 1 underground injection control wells manage industrial waste by injecting it thousands of feet underground. I'm from West Texas. They're all over the place out there. Y'all should go out there. They're kind of intermixed with windmills these days. So anyway, these injection wells could potentially harm important subsurface resources like drinking water and petroleum. So TCEQ has jurisdiction over the wells that dispose of industrial and municipal waste, while the Railroad Commission of Texas has jurisdiction over wells that dispose of oil and gas waste. So to get a permit, the first action that's required is to submit an application to TCEQ for that Class 1 well permit. And that application has to include a letter from the Railroad Commission saying that they've concluded that the proposed wells will not endanger or injure any known oil or gas reservoir. So that's called a no harm letter, I believe. So in this case, Texcom Gulf Disposal sought to develop a commercial waste disposal facility and requested a Class 1 well permit from TCEQ in 2005. And that application included the required Railroad Commission no harm letter. 2 years later, in 2007, while that permit application was still pending before TCEQ, Denbury Onshore acquired mineral leases that were within the proposed injection zone and initiated proceedings at the Railroad Commission to have that no harm letter that had been issued 2 years prior. They wanted that rescinded. So before TEXCOM's permit was approved at TCEQ, the Railroad Commission issued a final order addressing TEXCOM's waste disposal facility, and the Railroad Commission rescinded that no harm letter that they, that 2005 no harm letter that they had previously granted. And they did that because the Railroad Commission examiners concluded that TEXCOM's proposed waste injection activities would now endanger or injure known oil and gas reservoir. But the Railroad Commission delayed the effective date by 90 days until now we're in middle of 2011 in order to allow the parties an opportunity to seek rehearing at the Railroad Commission of that decision to rescind the no harm letter. So while this is happening over at the Railroad Commission, TCEQ finally granted the application on April 8th, 2011. So it's TCEQ ended up granting the application based on the no harm letter from 6 years earlier on April 8th, and the 90 days was going to run out at Railroad Commission like 10 days later. So the applicant filed for judicial review of TCEQ's, I'm sorry, not the applicant, Dyer filed judicial review of TCEQ's granting of the permit based on a no harm letter that had now been rescinded by the Railroad Commission.